Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's also tough watching the freaking birds these days. So here's the thing. 2023 is obviously in the air. I would say the year 2023 has been set on WIP since Friday night after that game. What do you think, Devin? 700 times? A thousand times?
Maybe over.
Maybe over 1,000 times. All right. So it's in the air. By the way, Rio off today, Devin in. 2023 is in the air. I hope it's not happening again. I'm curious from your end at 215-592-9494, if you're, I mean, I can't imagine you're not concerned that it might be happening again. How concerned are you that this is real? That this is where it's headed? John, sum up for me. Because, you know, we know the deal. Every other year they make the Super Bowl, and every other year they have a collapse. I hope not. John, where are you with what's going on compared to what we saw 2 years ago? And how? And here's the key. How it feels.
Yeah.
How it feels right now.
It feels very similar to the hopelessness when I recall Nick standing in front of everyone and saying, if I had the answers, I would have, you know, fixed it a long time ago. That we all felt that way, you know, like holy cow, we don't have the answers. We don't know why it feels so awful. Why we've dropped from 10-1 to this
and 22, and I believe we're the best team in football. I mean, other than a bad second half versus the Chiefs, I mean, I think that's one of the three best Eagles teams I've ever seen. Like, yeah. 2022 is never going to make the history books and like my book, you know what I mean? Like, how much are people talking about 22? But that was a great team. And I'll tell you this, 22, and I'll say this from now until forever, was a better regular season team than last year. They just did, so my point is, when 23 maybe collapsed, it was a historic collapse because it was after 22 excellence, 23, 10-1, and then bam, 64 fills out of nowhere. John, are we about to get another one of them? Are we about to get another 64 fills?
Well, not that I was negative 10, right, but I can tell you, no, that I feel awfully uneasy right now about the fact that I don't know that our coaches on the offense know best how to fix what ails us. You know, just like I feel like it. I feel like that statement, if I knew how to fix it, I would have a long time ago. I don't think Nick will say it this time. I think that was very quickly amended and, like I said, erased from the annals of history. I don't even know if you can find it now, but it's a darn shame that with this group of talented players, with this roster, you can repeatedly get to this point.
Yeah.
As often or more often than the successful point where it feels like everything is going, swimmingly, going the way you want it to. I know this, but this is a tough league. Holy cow.
It is.
Wins and losses are decided by the tiniest of decisions and errors, tiniest of mistakes wins and losses, you know, inches forward, backward. Yeah. This is big. We know this is a big deal, big business, Joe.
Well, and by the way, I mean, jobs could be on the line, obviously, at the end of the season if it happens again, because Lurie and Howie, and I know there's going to be something to say, well, we rebounded last time and won a Super Bowl, but there's also going to be something to be said if it's 2 out of 3 years. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. Look, here's where I'm at on the big picture of the situation. Am I concerned it's 2023 all over again? Of course. I mean, how can you be? Now, do I think it gets full 2023? I don't. I mean, just as a, for instance, that team lost 6 of 7 to end the year. I find it hard to believe this team will, for instance, lose 6 of 7. But it's really not about 6 of 7 to me that drives the heart of it. And this is where this team really does play with fire. Even if this team wins, let's say, 2 of the remaining games down the stretch, that's not really the heart of it. The heart of it is that team went from being one of the best in football to a team that at the end of the year stunk. This team could. That team went from a team that looked like a shoo-in to win the division to a team that didn't win the division. This team could. Now, they probably won't, but they could. Dallas is lurking. And we got to be aware of that. That team also looked like a team that, of course, was going to have a home playoff game and be a formidable foe in the postseason. That team did not get a home playoff game. They went on the road and they got their asses kicked. And this team could. So I don't think it's likely that they lose, for instance, 4 of the next 5, which would complete 6 out of 7. But I will tell you this, in the big picture, when it's like how you finish the regular season, how you enter the playoffs, if you do, which they sure should, and how you perform in the playoffs, it does feel like it kind of aligns like it might be happening again.
The way this team plays, the inconsistent way this team plays, the performance, the roller coaster. It feels like the fewer games we play in the postseason, the better. And unfortunately, we continue to let games slip in the regular season away that will prevent us from having that one seed where we get to sit around out. At one point, we were sitting with that one seed.
Two weeks ago.
That reason? We need to figure out a way to get back.
By the way, they were up 21-0. They were up 21-0 in that game. James, talk to me on 23 versus now and how you feel.
So first and foremost, I think, and you said this early in the week, I do think that there is a difference in that 23 we had not just won the Super Bowl, and in 25 we have.
Yeah.
Like, we won the Super Bowl this year. In 2025, it's 2025 right now. We won the Super Bowl in 2025. So, like, I think we are going too far with the, fire Sirianni or this or that. I think that stuff's, like, nonsense. I think it is so crazy to not remember what happened 11 months ago and to just look at now. Now, I do think that we are, it's a concerning time. It feels like it could be 2023. I don't think it'll get that far. I'm with you. I think the defense is better than it was.
It is.
Much better.
It is.
And I think the Patricia stuff, like, I think that submarined everything. And we've seen this offense have moments where they can move the ball. Like, there were, you know, it wasn't that long ago, it was Minnesota and the Giants. It wasn't that far ago where they looked good offensively. So I don't think it's going to be 2023. I don't think this team's winning the Super Bowl either. You know, I don't believe they're going to, you know, go on a run yep. or whatever. But I do think we're going, I think it's harder, Pete. I think that we're seeing a team that was on a mission last year and completed that mission. And it's hard to turn it around and come back and have that same drive and be healthy and be ready for it. And I just think we're seeing that. I think it's hard.
I think we're seeing more than that, though,
James. I think
we're
overreacting to this year. Yeah. I think if next year things are a problem, okay. But I think we just won the Super Bowl this year and we're reacting like this now. I think it's way overblown.
All right, look, 215-592-9494. I'll give you the two biggest keys as I see them for the remainder of the year. One is something, I'll say, sort of out of their control, and one's in their control. The one kind of out of their control, and it just involves some good luck, and they need it. The offensive line, they need it to get healthy. They just, I mean, when they can't even do a tush push, you know, guys aren't healthy. I mean, let's be honest. Jorgens Malott and Dickerson played in that game, and they couldn't even do a freaking tush push. So that tells me guys are really banged up. So they need the grace of God, okay, to play some freaking health on those dudes up front, because without it, they're not successfully running the football and all that stuff. That's number one. Number two is Hurts has to play better. He just has to. Independent of whether the line gets healthy or not, he has to play better. And I'll tell you this, like, when I talk about jobs could be on the line, I think his is one of them. I really do. And it's shocking for me to say in a calendar year, to James's point, when they did win a Super Bowl 7 months ago, but I look at this stuff through the eyes of Lurie and Howie. And I'm telling you, I think, you know... And I also follow the dots of things Ike says and things Hugh says. They're very plugged in to the Eagles. And there is a lot coming out from down there that people are not happy with him, like, at all. At all. So he better get his act together, man. 215-592-9494. The 2023 thing. To what extent do you feel it? To what extent do you fear it? So here's what I want to drive at today. I'm curious where people land on. How good is Sirianni as a head coach? How good is he? So, he's now in year five. It's incredible. Uh-oh. He's in year five. And obviously the last couple weeks haven't gone well. It's been a strange season. Very strange season. They get out-yardaged almost every game. They've won 8 of those 12 games. But it does look like the arrow is pointed down. A lot of people have said through the years, you know, an argument against Hurts has also been an argument against Sirianni, whether you buy into it or not. One of the arguments has been there's so much there, so much around him. Howie gave him so much. So I'm curious today at 215-592-9494, in light of now a new season, what has happened, the fact that it is possible it's a second collapse in 3 seasons. It's possible. Yeah, I'm using that word possible. I ask you today at 215-592-9494, what do you make of the job Nick Sirianni is doing this year? And big picture, what level head coach do you think he is? John, first crack at it. How do you size up Nick Sirianni at this stage?
This is hard. I have struggled with this throughout.
Yep, I know you have.
And I do think Nick does a lot of things incredibly well in terms of motivating these guys. He does things I've never heard of in terms of holding these guys accountable. I wonder if that's starting to see, if we're starting to see cracks in the accountability system. I wonder if some of that stuff, is wearing thin. I don't know. But I know that the discipline is way out of whack. You know, we have 14 penalties in a game. You know, that's what's going on here. You know, it doesn't look right when you look at the final numbers.
Oh, it's bizarre.
And we got those penalties there, and it outweighs everything. And then you look at the offensive production, and it's so down.
It's every game. It's
right.
Unbelievable.
So we all suppose that Kevin Petullo is, you know, that's Nick's guy. That's Nick's custom, you know, plant for offensive coordinator play caller. So they should be, like, you know, excelling in this capacity, the two of them working together. And nothing could be further from the truth. This offense is not excelling. Now, to be fair, I think defenses around the NFL might be a little bit ahead of the offenses. I think this is happening to other offenses and other quarterbacks at times. You know, you look at the Bills, and there are weeks where they get absolutely shut down. That makes me feel just a little bit better, not much better, because we have so much talent, and we're all aware. And this, it feels like Nick Sirianni at times squanders that talent. That sounds ridiculous to say, because here we are sitting on the tail end of a Super Bowl. We are the Super Bowl champions, the reigning Super Bowl champions. So I love Nick Sirianni for what he has given this city, what he has brought us, his system, his the way that he, you know, the way that he works a team, the way that he works a coaching staff, the way that he works a game is magnificent at times. So magnificent that he was the best in the world at it for
He's the best game manager I've seen the Eagles have. Now, he's had a really weird last month, because I thought he had some whoppers of mistakes, particularly in the fourth quarter.
I think whenever he has to get involved with the offense, he gets worse at the game management. We notice it. It's the same thing in 2023 was the only other time he's had any sort of issues at all, game management-wise. I think it's because he's having to do more.
I think it's such a huge mixed bag, like of extremes in the way that I feel about.
And you think, John, you think the biggest negative is that he's not just purely better running an offense, and that we're going to always have to go through this cycle of who's the coordinator.
Really bothers.
That's
me.
Your number it one is, negative, right?
It will always be this tumultuous thing, like putting us through the ringer every year. It's going to suck, man.
Well, it does seem to be a thing. It's probably not going to change anytime soon. Look, 215-592-9494.
What do you? Only way we can find. Okay, sorry to interrupt. If we could get someone like Vic Fangio, like older gentleman who is from the area, grew up an Eagles fan, and has no desire for upward mobility.
Right.
Just wants to stay somewhere and be a miserly and wise offensive coordinator. That's what we need.
He doesn't exist, John.
Fangio
did.
Yeah, no, some do. I think it's trickier, because I think those guys often get hired. But anyway, look, 215-592-9494. By hired, I mean for the head coach job. Look, here's where I'm at. Let me tell you my conclusion. I'm going to walk through it. Because, again, I'm curious where you stand on Sirianni at this stage. So I'm going to give you my conclusion right now. I'm going to stand by saying he's a great coach. I just want you to know that from the outset. I think he's a great coach. I think he's one of the best in pro football. Now, do I feel a little shaky saying that in light of not only the last couple weeks, but the season? Yeah, I'll be honest. Sure. Of course. Of course I feel shakier. I mean, the reality is that it is possible, and I'm using that word possible, that another collapse is happening / on the horizon. And if it's 2 out of 3 years, that would be absurd. It really would be. Look, I have said before, and I'll take it to an even higher level. I've said many times, I think he's a great coach, great with a capital G, meaning really, really great, meaning really, really great. But it's been a really weird year, and it makes you kind of wonder. I think the point John's made now for 5 years about it's unfortunate and a mark against him that he's not purely just better with the schematic thing and just being able to be that guy on offense, it is a negative. I mean, it's a real clear negative, and it has both short-term and long-term implications in a bad way. With that said, you guys know, I've said it many times in the last couple weeks, I think Hurts is hurting them far more on offense than Sirianni / Petullo are. So, you know, to me, it kind of comes back to a Doug Carson 2020 thing. Like, and of course, this isn't a 2020 team, right? That team finished 4-11-1. This team's likely to go to the playoffs, likely to get double-digit wins. But the offense is, again, like a freaking root canal. And this time with more talent. I'm not going to say they have all this talent that we used to say, because I think, frankly, they're hampered by age, by use, by a lot of different things. But the reality is they have more talent than in 2020. But I know this. In 2020, I was freaking pounding the table saying this is more on Carson than Doug. And a lot of people told me I'm wrong, and that's fine. But this year to this point, more people are saying that this is on Sirianni and Petullo than Hurts. And I think if you're thinking that, I think you're wrong. Now, that's part of why I stand by Sirianni. With that said, I can't tell you I'm exactly, you know, impressed with his offensive thing. How can I be? I mean, I can't be. But, of course, it would be interesting if it was a different style quarterback and he was a little bit more of an open playbook, what would it look like? And we won't know until that day comes. And that day might not come for a long, long time. So, sure, I'm shaken. Here's an odd one. I am obviously frustrated and unimpressed with how much has gone wrong this year. And I put a lot of that on the head coach. I mean, the offense does stink. The penalties are massive. The AJ turmoil seems to be never ending. And that's only a small subset of things that have gone wrong this year. And so you got to put a lot of that on the coach. You have to. With that said, here's where it gets really weird. I'm oddly impressed that with all of that having gone wrong, they're 8-4. I mean, they are outgained in yards almost every game. And by the way, not by like a yard or two. Like, they get trumped 50, 60, 70 yards in games, and they find ways to win. So riddle that one, Batman. So what do I think? I think he's great. But I also know legs can get a little wobbly sometimes standing there and saying it. Because you watch them play, and you do wonder. I mean, that's truth. You wonder. All right, talk to us today at 215-592-9494. What level coach is he? What do you make specifically of his performance this season? Do you think he has been, to a large extent, carried or tremendously aided through the years by an outstanding roster? And there's no question, 2022, 2023, 2024 was an unbelievable roster. This year, you know, it's a lot
believable.
It's a lot of the same players, but it's they just don't seem as effective, as evidenced by Saquon, Landon Dickerson, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Talk to us, 215-592-9494. What do you make of it? A reevaluation of Nick, and what he is. Joe Cameron, John Ritchie, it's 94 WIP. All right, Elliot, good morning, buddy.
What up? How you guys doing this morning?
I'm good, man.
Doing all right.
Ellie, let's start with the good news, man. And there's a lot of good news. Dallas lost, but Jordan Mulata, NFL Man of the Year nominee, Walter Payton Man of the Year. Tell us about Jordan Mulata. You do a show with him every week. It's a great honor for him. Talk to us.
Yeah, I think what stands out to me is, you know, the Eagles, I think, definitely have like a strong history of guys that not only are great players, but connect to players off the field. Like pretty much, you know, the last 15, 20 years, they've had Dawkins, then they had Kelsey, then, you know, Brandon Graham. And I don't know if it was always very clear who that next person was going to be. And I think this stamps it, that it is Jordan. It is Jordan Mailata. Like, he is not only a great player on the field, but I think he has one of those rare abilities. And, you know, not to compare him directly to Kelsey and Brandon Graham, because they are certainly super unique, special cases. But Jordan Mailata is the closest thing I've seen. I mean, I see him, as you mentioned, we do the Jordan Mailata show with him every Monday night. Just the way fans react to him, the way he reacts to fans. You know, obviously the Christmas albums and all that, but also like the way he talks to the media, and he's become a leader for the team as well. So, yeah, I never thought we'd see another Kelsey or Brandon Graham, and he's not there yet, but that's what really sticks out to me about this.
I agree. I totally agree with that. Elliot, let's go big picture with the Eagles, not the Chargers game, but the remainder of the season. Do you think they get back to performing like an elite NFL football team?
So I think if you ask me, will they play better than they did against Chicago? Yes. But I don't think they're going to turn into the juggernaut we saw last year. I don't think they will turn into like a super crisp, super clean, elite football team. But I do think they don't have far to go to be a team that can make the Super Bowl. The NFC is just not that good. Like, I'm not afraid of Seattle. The Rams certainly are playing well, but the Rams, the Eagles seem to have their number, and they beat them this season. So I think we kind of hold the Eagles to the standard of last year, and I don't think they're going to reach that. I don't. Like, they've been too sloppy all year. They make mistakes too much. They get penalized too much. But I do think that they can get to the level where, can they beat Detroit? Yes, they beat them 3 weeks ago. Can they beat the Packers? Yes, they beat them in Green Bay about a month ago. So I do not think they'll collapse, but I think it's going to be a bumpy ride. I just think the ride could end in the Super Bowl.
So how important is creativity and the play design. Like, how, well, this is almost like a mini buy that they're getting here. And I wonder, how much do you expect things will change offensively? Is it going to look different coming out of this extended period of time where they've had some time to think about just how they got sort of outfoxed and out-toughed by another NFC team, Elliot?
Yeah. So this is what, their fourth mini-buy of the season? I mean, at this point, like, I think whatever answers they have are probably already out on the field. I'm not saying there won't be some differences. Geez. Like, well, but so I thought Jason Kelce actually on your show yesterday put it perfectly. Like, very few teams out-scheme other teams to the Super Bowl. Like, that's not how it's going to get done. I'm not defending the coaching scheme. Like, I'm just saying that ultimately this is not going to be decided by some little trick play they figure out or some minor adjustment they figure out during the extra 3 days they had off. Like, this is going to be solved by the players not getting penalized as much, by the players, you know, executing better, and by Jalen playing better. It is going to be Jalen that decides where this season goes. I know everyone likes to focus on Petullo and Sirianni, and they have important roles. But at the end of the day, Jalen will decide how far this team goes. And I'll say this about Monday night. Like, he needs to put the Superman cape on. Earlier this season, when they were coming off two straight losses, I said Jalen needs to go out and win the game, and he turned in a perfect passer rating against a good Vikings defense and carried them in that second half. Sometimes it's not about, like, a scheme or anything. It's about, can your best player be the best player on the field? And on Monday night, the Eagles need somebody to get this thing turned around. And the player with the best opportunity to do that is Jalen, and they need him to be that guy on Monday night.
Elliot, you've been a big Jalen defender. I'm just curious, what specifically is it that has made you less believing in Jalen? Because I sense you're believing in him less. I'm just wondering what specifically.
He's just not playing well, you know? And I think sometimes with Jalen, and I understand why, like, I agreed this offseason he was not given the national respect he deserves, right? I agree with that. And I think that his role in the Super Bowl last year is sometimes diminished. So I understand the, like, strong desire from fans to always defend Jalen. Like, I get it. But I also think we can all be honest. And when the offense is one of the worst in the NFL, there's no way the quarterback is playing well. And I think this year, A, he's turned it over slightly more, not a ton, but, like, there have been some turnover issues. I don't think his accuracy has been very good this year. I think, you know, he is not only missing throws, but I think his ball placement on completions even hasn't been as good. And he's normally a very accurate quarterback. I don't think he's dealt with pressure well this year. Last year, he wasn't great with it. The advanced stats would show you that. But I do think this year he's been worse with it. And I also think that with the running game not good, they needed the passing game to step up. And it's not all on Jalen, but it's mostly on Jalen. So I just don't think he's played to the level that I believe he's capable of playing in. But I would also say one of Jalen's best strengths, and I know it's hard to quantify, but it still is what it is I think in big games in the playoffs, I do think he will make the plays to find a way to win the game. Like, I just do. I've seen him do it. So I don't think he's playing well, but that doesn't really impact my opinion of the playoffs too much.
So our defense has struggled significantly, especially the last couple games. They've allowed over 400 yards. How do you stop the bleeding, essentially, Elliot, defensively, especially now that Jalen Carter is not going to be available?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, missing Jalen Carter is a major, major loss. Like, he's not been the Jalen Carter we all thought he could be, but that player we thought he could be was the best defensive player in the NFL. So he's not met that standard, but he has still been an extremely good player this year. Somewhat inconsistent, but there have definitely been games where he has dominated. And without him there, everyone else needs to step up, because now Moro Jomo, who's having an awesome year, doesn't get to be the number two defensive tackle. He's the guy that's going to get double teamed. Jalen Phillips maybe becomes the person on the defensive line that offensive lines pay the most attention to. And I think the biggest concern is that last year they were able to be a defense that was great from the outside in. Their back seven was the best part of the defense. This year, that's not the case, right? They have a major question at safety going into this game, whether it's Marcus Epps, Sidney Brown, who it's going to be. Adoree Jackson has certainly been up and down. So they need the defensive line to get pressure. They didn't really need that last year. And my concern is without Jalen Carter is this back seven going to get even more exposed than it kind of has been at times this year? Now, the good news is the Chargers offense is just not that good. Like, the Chargers are the run-of-the-mill average team. They're not really great at anything, and they're not really terrible at anything either. But they do have a quarterback that has a broken hand. So, you know, the key to stop the bleeding this week is get to Herbert and knock the ball out of his hand. Because if he has time in the pocket, I'm worried about the back seven.
Elliot, we know Darius Slay is not going to play for the Eagles this week, and he probably won't play for them ever again. But we also found out yesterday he's not reporting to Buffalo. I want to play some audio for you of Darius Slay yesterday with Emmanuel Acho on Acho's podcast. It was a good question from Acho. Let's listen to the exchange, and then, Elliot, your interpretation, what you make of the situation.
If the Philadelphia Eagles would have claimed you, would you have been there today? Don't lie to me, Slay. You can lie to them. Don't lie to me.
Oh, man. We know. We don't know, man. We'll see, though.
We don't know. It's crazy.
Slay, you do not lie in a speakeasy. One of the biggest rules in a speakeasy is we don't tell no lies. I will ask you the question again. Have the Philadelphia Eagles claimed you, would you have been there today?
I don't know, really. I honestly don't know, man. I'm just telling you because the fact of, like I said, man, I had a real big impact with my kid, man. Like I said, me and my oldest son, man, we've been going through the wars together.
Yeah.
You know, since Pee-wee's and I.
How old is the oldest, for clarity?
18.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said, this was his senior year of football. He just got doing basketball. And my youngest, my middle one, he just got done. I just left his game.
Yeah.
And it just felt good to be there. You know what I'm saying? It felt good for me to be there. So it would have been a hard time, you know, to think about it. But, you know, hey, Philly is my second home. You know, I don't know how that would have hit, if that would have hit. But when I got home the other day, I'm like, shoot, boy, this feels good, too good that we got the crib.
All right, so Elliot, he later referred to himself as 50%, you know, chance that he plays again, 50% that he retires. I'm curious from your standpoint, do you think this is a ploy by Slay to try to get to the Eagles, or just real talk that he truly doesn't know if he wants to play again?
I think he definitely would have reported to the Eagles. I don't think there's any question. I think the idea of going to Buffalo has probably made him think about the idea of not playing, and then you spend a few days not playing, not practicing, not going to meetings, going to his kids' games. I know from, you know, being around him when he was in Philly, like, that is a real thing. Like, he is a true family man. So I do think maybe now the freedom has made him think, hey, this actually isn't that bad. But I think if the Eagles would have claimed him, he would have not been at his kid's game. He would have just come to Philadelphia and not experienced that. So I do think he would play for the Eagles if that opportunity arises. I think the Eagles believe he would play for the Eagles if he had that opportunity. But my thing is, I just wonder how the league reacts to a player, a very high-profile player, very publicly kind of circumventing the waiver system. Like, what's the point of the waiver system if the players are just going to be able to pick and choose where they go? Like, the argument can be made there shouldn't be one, and once he's cut, he should get to go where he wants. He's a veteran. He's been in the league a long time. But if he's just going to say, I'm not going to play for Buffalo and then end up with the Eagles, like, if I'm another team, like, if I'm the Rams or some other team, I wouldn't be too thrilled about that. So,
well, I mean,
I'll take it,
Elliot, I'll take this a step further, but before I do, let me just say contest line right now. We'll take caller 5 on the contest line for Beat the Hammer coming up in less than 5 minutes. 215-988-1258. I mean, I don't really know why you bother calling. You're going to lose whoever you are out there, but okay, fifth caller. 215-988-1258 for Beat the Hammer in less than 5 minutes. Elliot, I'll take it a step further and say this. I don't know why the Buffalo Bills would ever renounce his rights. Meaning, the Bills know they might play in the Super Bowl. The Bills know the Eagles might play in the Super Bowl. The Bills know they got Josh Allen.
Bills play the Eagles week 17.
And week 17. So
they could put him on the do not report list.
Like,
is that what it is?
Yeah, like, Elliot, yeah. I just see, like, it's kind of exciting to know that maybe the Slay thing is still possible for the Eagles, but it just seems unlikely to me that it manifests, because why would Buffalo allow him to play for the Eagles? They currently own his rights.
I agree. Now, the reason they would do it is because Slay does have a high power agent, Drew Rosenhaus. Obviously, Eagles fans are very familiar with him.
So, like, what are the chances?
You wonder if they do him a favor now, and then in the offseason, one of Drew's clients. Like, you know, there's that backdoor thing. But you're right, from just like a surface level practical standpoint, they claimed him. If they don't have to use a roster spot on him and can just own his rights, like, I don't see why they would, other than just to be nice.
So, are there better chances that this can actually happen than we really think, Elliot?
It depends. I mean, I would say it's 50-50. Like, and I, you know, not to go down the middle on it, but it's really going to come down to if Drew Rosenhaus can maneuver this where he gets what his client wants. Because I do think that Darius Slay wants to play for the Eagles, and it'll just be a matter of if they can work the system to get him here.
All right. Elliot, final thing. Who should be favored in the Eagles-Chargers game if Herbert plays?
Herbert's playing.
Yeah, I think it should be the Eagles. I know they're not playing right now, and they're on the road, but it's, you know, I've been to SoFi. The Rams don't even have good crowds, so I can't imagine the Chargers are going to have much of a good crowd.
Oh, there's going to be tons of Eagles fans there.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be mostly Eagles fans, I would think. You know, I don't think they should be huge favorites, and I don't think anyone should feel really confident they're going to win the game, but they are still a better team than the Chargers. So I would say the Eagles deserve to be slight favorites.
All right, bud. Elliot, great report, man. Thanks, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, pal.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I like that. As much information as you could possibly find for a 3D printer.
Right? That was a segue.
It was a segue. Well, we have a lot of information on the Eagles offense right now, and it's not very good. The information is pointing towards bad offense, needs to get a lot better. And, all right, I want to talk about something as we start the show today. And, Hugh, I need you to do one thing for me today. I'm requesting one thing from you, from Kyle, from the audience. I just need one thing today. And where that takes you, that's fine. Just where it takes you, takes you. But I need you to be honest today, because I've started to think about something.
I'm always honest, Joe.
Okay, well, I need you to be specifically honest with this particular conversation. It's just, I need for this particular conversation.
This is about to be some reckless.
That's not reckless. I don't think this is reckless.
This is reckless.
What this is we're just talking among fans. This is a safe space. The Midday Show is a safe space. And, you know, I've watched this Eagles offense struggle for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we have a situation right now where our passing game stinks. In the last 4 weeks, I'm going to reel off some quick numbers for you for Jalen Hurts. 59.1 completion percentage. That would rank 31st over the course of a season among starting quarterbacks. 6.6 yards per attempt. That would rank 27th. An 86 passer rating. That would rank 26th. So over the last month of the season, Jalen Hurts and this passing game are playing like some of the worst in the entire NFL. Those are facts. Those are the numbers. And we keep looking at it and trying to unpack what's wrong and this and variables and all that. And I just keep thinking about something, and I'm wondering, and I have to tell everyone about it. I have started to privately wonder what the offense would look like if Tanner McKee was playing quarterback. I don't think I'm the only one out there. I have thought about it. Yesterday we received, 3 or 4 phone calls from people talking about Tanner time. deep down, I have started to picture what the offense might look like.
Deep down.
With Tanner McKee. Yeah, I mean, I'm being honest.
You're curious.
I'm curious what it would look like with Tanner McKee. We've talked about this for a long time. This guy's been here for a few years. Every time he plays.
He's the future.
Well, you've said that. Every time he's played well, right? Whether it be preseason or the games at the end of last season, we've seen him move the football. And now we have a season where we're not moving the football at all. I'll be clear. I don't expect this to happen, but I, as a fan, have privately started to picture what this offense would look like if Tanner McKee was playing quarterback. Hugh Douglas?
Nope.
Be honest.
Nope.
Have you started to think about what it would look like with Tanner time?
You know, listen.
Honest.
That's reckless speculation.
No, it's not.
It's not speculation.
Well, it's reckless.
Is it reckless?
It's reckless.
It's WIP. Reckless.
Let me say this.
It's very normal.
This is actually what fans do.
I don't wonder what it looks like because I already know.
Oh.
I already know what it looked like.
And what would it look like?
I need y'all to listen before I answer this question.
Yeah. Because some of y'all walk.
No, I mean, I need you to listen.
Here we okay. go.
Go ahead.
And understand, I'm talking about my 10 years in NFL when I say this. It would be, in a small sampling size, successful. And the reason why
and that's supposed to stop me from recklessly thinking?
That's reckless.
Listen to what I'm saying. Now, we're in a position where, like, we tend to forget because we're fans, but there's a monetary value tied to Jalen. And if we went that way, we're sitting $50 million on the bench.
Mm.
And in a small sampling size, so we've seen this before. Remember Kevin Cobb? When Kevin Cobb came in, and I don't remember the exact stat, but Kevin Cobb made history because he had either it was his completion rate or it was something where he was the first quarterback in the history of the NFL to do this.
Yeah, he had a nice start to his career.
And here's another thing, people, when I talk about this. Every quarterback looks good for at least 4 weeks. Every last one of them. And Tanner has been good in spurts because he's not the guy that is game planned for. So he's going to look good. So just for sake of this argument, Eagles come out today and they say, we're going to start Tanner McKee, right? Mm-hmm. Number one, whatever happens, you can't go back to Jalen. That's it. You can't do that. And I don't think that they're ready to do that. I don't think they're going to do that. Tanner's going to go out there and play well. The ball's going to leave his hands quickly. It's going to be all this, that, and the third because two things. Tanner can play, and the defense is not familiar with him. If you want to go, like, I would think as a defender, we were going to a meeting. We're going to have to pull tape from Stanford, and we're going to pull tape from his start in against the Commodores last year.
The
Cowboys game when he was
and
in garbage
Giants,
time.
Yeah, yep.
You're gonna pull those tapes and you're gonna try to glean what he does good. Now, Tanner's gonna go out there and he's gonna run a timing offense. He's gonna get the ball out of his hands quick. And that might be successful in small spurts. But as we progress through the weeks, then the nuances of his game will be taken to the lab. We just call it taken to the lab. Mm. They're going to take his game to the lab, and they're going to dissect his game. And it might not be the same. And say, for instance, he starts to struggle. Then you're stuck with that. You're not going back to Jalen. You're not.
Well, all right, a couple things off that. Number one, you saying that it would look better, it makes me even more intrigued. There's only 5 games left in the season.
Yeah, but I'm trying to win games.
I mean,
You're trying to get to the Super Bowl.
Well, and they're trying to salvage this season, which has themes that it's collapsing like in 2023. So if you're telling me you think it would look better in a short sample, that makes me even more intrigued. As far as monetary, as far as numbers, as far as I can't worry about all that. That's their issues to worry about. All I know is this. The Eagles need to be better. The offense has stunk. The quarterback has played quite poorly now for a few weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They have another quarterback they've been developing for years underneath. And I'm starting to wonder what it would look like. And in the past, I haven't wondered this with Jalen Hurts. Because I just have thought quite clearly since Jalen became the starter, he's obviously better than his backup. Or like it wasn't a question that the offense would be worse if Mariota came in 23. Mariota's terrible. It wasn't a question to me when Gardner Minshew was here because I didn't think much of Gardner Minshew. I just thought he was a journeyman quarterback. And I'm not telling you I think Tanner McKee is the future or even a long-term starting quarterback, But Jalen has declined. Jalen's not the same player he was at 22. He's not the same player he was a few years ago. He's not playing well. So if the bar is whatever Jalen is right now, what is Tanner? Is Tanner well underneath the bar? Is Tanner the same right now? I mean, I all I know is my mind is starting to wonder.
My mind's telling me no.
My mind is starting to wander a little bit here. 215-592-9494.
This is a reckless speculation.
I don't think this is reckless. It's not reckless.
It's not reckless.
59.1 completion percentage. 6.6 yards. Yeah, you needed a notepad. 6.6 yards an attempt. An 86 passer rating. You know what that is? That's bottom of the NFL. That's bottom of the NFL. If his name wasn't Jalen Hurts, if his name was someone else, if he didn't have this contract, all anyone would say was, get a new quarterback in there. That's how he's played for the last month. It's bad. So I can't not wonder what it would look like. I'm not telling you they're dropping 40 if McKee goes in there. All his warts might be exposed. He was a sixth-round pick. I'm just telling you, for the first time in Jalen Hurts' time as the starting quarterback, I have started to think about the backup. 215-592-9494. Where are you on this? I need honesty. Just be honest. Have you thought about it? Let's hear from another quarterback who we've probably done this to in the past. Donovan McNabb. You mentioned Kevin Cobb. Donovan Cobb back in the day, of course. Jeff Garcia, all these other quarterbacks who are around. Donovan on the afternoon show yesterday talking about the issues, and he says, stop pointing fingers at Kevin Petullo for what's going on. Here's Donovan.
I'm going to tell you this. To be honest with you, I know everybody's coming down on Kevin Petullo. Listen, it's easy to point the finger at the offensive coordinator and the play caller, but I think it's a little bit more than just the plays that he's not calling. I think some of the plays that he wants to call, he can't call it with this group.
Well, why do you think that is?
And I don't think he's fully trusted with this group that we have.
So.
I mean, you feel the same way?
No, listen. It's hard for me to tell which is which. I'm with you there. Is it he can't call a full offense because
right.
He doesn't necessarily trust the personnel, or is the personnel not executing the offense that he's calling?
I think it's a little bit of both.
This is why I look like that was almost like he punched Ike in the gut. He wasn't expecting that.
Well, what do you think Donovan's saying there?
There's a lot to digest in that cut.
Well, okay. Well, let's digest it. Is he talking about the quarterback, or is he talking about the whole offense, all the personnel?
I think he's talking about the quarterback.
Well, then Donovan's obviously wondering what it would look like.
No,
I mean, I hear Donovan. How could I not think about what a different quarterback would do with the same offense?
But the ramifications. I just feel like once you open that door, Joe. Ain't no coming back.
Okay.
So, and I don't think you can do like this.
But is this about the future, or is this about this team?
This is okay. I'm gonna say something that's gonna make a lot of people mad, but this is the reality.
10-12.
Yeah, 10-12.
Okay.
This is the reality of the NFL.
Mm.
And it's partly is the reason why people feel the way that they feel. You ready?
I'm listening.
Jalen Hurts is a pillar of the community. I know that doesn't sound like it's a lot when you talk about what's actually happening on the field, but that's very, very important. Jalen Hurts has been to two Super Bowls and has won one. And I know for the sake of this argument, that argument doesn't hold weight. Mm. But this is where I need you to be logical in the way that you're thinking right now.
Nope.
And I know that's probably asking for – that's a big old ask
You
right
know what
now.
You can't do? You can't control the thoughts you have.
I've
wondered what it looks like.
But see, this is where – this is why, like, when I would talk to my relatives about football, and this is where the rubber meets the road for the reality of football – and the reality of real life, right? And that's where the line gets muddy, but that's where it separates for me and for the organization. Jalen Hurts is the face of the franchise. He's the guy that when they're giving out turkeys or they're doing anything in community, he's the face.
For now.
Okay.
The face. Right, but just like any other Eagles face was the face until they weren't.
You're right, until he's not.
Yeah.
But there is no logistical reason to point or say or move Jalen Hurts. And I know that's hard for people to grasp because of the way that this offense looks, but the history of this team is it's always like Jalen has not had the same offensive coordinator in his whole time here in the NFL, right? And Jalen Hurts has always found a way to work himself out of whatever this is. Whatever's going on, he's always found a way to be successful. It would not be a good look. And it would just not be a good look.
So here's why I understand what you're saying. I don't think it matters. The Eagles move off everyone. The Eagles fired Andy Reid. The Eagles let Brian Dawkins walk to the Denver Broncos. The Eagles took the first quarterback that won a Super Bowl here and let him walk to the Jacksonville Jaguars after taking the team back to the playoffs. The Eagles took a quarterback they paid the most money in NFL history to and replaced him within 2 years in Carson Wentz. The Eagles took Doug Peterson, who won their first Super Bowl, and fired him. I don't think this matters. I think they do what's best for the organization. And look, I don't think they're going to bench Jalen Hurts. I don't think this is going to happen. I'm just telling you, as a fan, I've wondered what the other quarterback would look like. For the first time in his time as Eagles quarterback, since Jalen took over, I've wondered, what could the guy behind him do? Because this isn't good enough. I mean, this offense just isn't good enough. And is there a lot of ramifications to the Eagles making a decision? Of course there is. I don't have any ramifications. I'm just wondering, as I watch the game, what would the other guy look like? A.J. Brown, after the game on Friday, talking about what the real issue is, and he used that E word again. Here's A.J.
I think lack of execution. Today I had another penalty. Still like that can't happen.
Are guys getting skewed open enough?
Yeah.
So then why is it
pass the whole thing? Execution.
Execution, the issue, according to A.J. Brown. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's have the conversation.
You know,
we're doing it. We're here now.
We're here.
Well, you know, you over there, Mr. High and Mighty, I would never think about this. Also,
I would never think about it.
Alluded to the idea it'd be better if the other quarterback was in.
No,
how does that make me not think more about
Joe,
it?
Joe, because it's a small sampling size.
The season has a small sample left. What am I waiting for?
You can't go back. If you do that.
Oh, well, okay. Before Kyle chimes in on everyone's phone call here.
Why are you laughing, Kyle? Right, I don't like this conversation.
I need to present something.
It's not a reckless speculation.
I need to present
speculation.
Y'all trying to take my inside of the year away from me.
No, you're going to do that on your own.
All right,
so I think we're maybe missing something. This. You said there's no going back, right?
No going back.
How do we know the Eagles aren't already moving off this guy after the season? Are you guys sure? I mean, go back to the last 25 years of Eagles history and go to when the times their offense was this bad. The coach or the quarterback do not come back. I mean, if this thing continues down...
Are you invoking Doug Peterson?
Doug and Chip and Andy? Go back.
We will endure.
But no, the Eagles don't endure. Do you know what Jeff Lurie...
Remember when Dave Bain said we will endure?
Yes.
Yeah, we will endure.
I'm just saying, guys, if you think, oh no, how could you do this because you can't go back... Eagles history says when the offense is this bad, they move off the coach or both the quarterback and the coach. So they may be closer to this than you think anyway. I don't think they're going to do anything significant with this. I just have started to wonder.
You're just recklessly speculating.
I'm just recklessly thinking.
He's curious.
Yeah, I am curious.
I think you're curious too.
Of course.
No.
You called McKee the future.
I'm not curious.
You called McKee the future.
I did the future.
You told me they would win.
Now is not the time.
Now is now.
Nah.
Now, there's no time like the present.
No, I know the situation we're in, but no. Nah.
Mm. Kyle, what are you feeling?
Yeah, well, safe space today.
Always.
Nobody's listening but us three.
Just us.
I know he's curious.
No, mm-hmm. I'm not.
You're curious. I'm a little curious. Like, I don't know how you couldn't be.
What? Sounds crazy when you say it like that.
We're just curious.
We're
Jim.
Just curious, Hugh.
And
guilty.
We are bold enough to say that we're curious out loud. It's a safe space.
This isn't even like. It's going to sound crazy that I say this. This isn't even like a pro Tanner McKee thing, an anti Jalen thing. I'm desperate at this point.
Yes.
I was coming on here last week talking about letting Sirianni call the plays. That's how freaking desperate I was.
And that was desperate.
Because
yeah.
This offense sucks so bad that I wonder what it's like if you tinker with some of the variables, right? Because now it's about, we'll say, a three-season sample size of what the passing offense looks like. Mm-hmm. And there's two constants. It's the coach and it's the quarterback. So everyone's blaming Kevin Petullo. I thought about what it would look like if he wasn't calling the plays. I've even thought about what it would look like if we had a different head coach with a different scheme in here. And of course, naturally, I get a little curious about what it would look like with a different quarterback. And I understand that's the point of no return. I'm not even like pounding the table for them to go to Tanner McKee because I'm sort of with you. I don't think he's the guy of the future. That feels like we're back in quarterback purgatory again in the postseason or in the offseason. But like, you have to admit, you've thought about it.
No.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
You're the one that called him the future not too long ago.
Tell the truth.
Yeah. I didn't think
you're curious.
That.
Hugh. Nah. Come on. Nah. We're all a little curious.
That just sounds crazy.
We're curious.
You know, somebody called me a 7-year-old this morning. I'm kind of agreeing with that right now.
And they're listening, probably thinking this is what I meant when I called this guy. So, all right, 215-592-9494. We got a lot to get to today. We got a prize. We have Devin coming up at 11. Ross Tucker later in the show. Let's start with the conversation. Have you started to think about it? I have. I mean, I heard a call in the afternoon show yesterday making good points to Ike and to Spike and to Fritz that he's thinking about. I've thought about it. What would the offense look like if McKee was in there?
For WIP breaking news.
No, this is something completely
different.
Thank you
for me.
Okay, what do we got?
According to Adam Schefter, Jalen Carter is out for Monday's game versus the Chargers after undergoing a procedure this past Monday on both of his shoulders.
Oh, no.
Carter is now undergoing treatment on both shoulders, and he will be considered week to week to return. Carter wanted to be as close to 100% as possible for the playoff run.
All right, so let's unpack this.
I'm not laughing.
What's
at
so
you.
Funny, Hugh?
No, I'm not laughing at you. But like, I'm in the studio waiting. And
I got to tell you, we're cooked. By the way, Monday.
His whole mood.
Joe, dude, we're in trouble.
Like, Joe, I love you, man, but your whole mood, Joe, this is not the end of the world, dog.
We have a better race, Hugh. Did you forget what I did? Saying it's not over.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not.
Okay.
But. You look like
what
somebody just.
What the hell is going on around here? Okay. Well, you laugh it up.
No.
Let's unpack this. So, yes, was it yesterday Fangio spoke and said he's still battling shoulder issues?
Yeah.
But that was downplaying it, Vic. The guy had a procedure on Monday. Like, that's like saying, oh, yeah, I stepped on a Lego last night. I'm having some foot issues. No, he had a procedure on both shoulders. Like, that's a big deal. Okay. It does explain his play lately, which has been down.
I need you to stop giggling.
I mean, we
right
gotta
now.
Lock in.
I'm sorry.
Lock in. Also, you know what this reminds me of? While we're on the 2023 parallels, remember when our guy Slay had the arthroscopic knee surgery while the whole thing was falling apart in 23? I love that he'll be back for the playoffs thing. No, we gotta get there.
No, it's gonna be all right, dog. I'm just laughing at Joe.
This is. You are out of control.
No, I know.
I'm just laughing
on today's
at Joe.
Show. You have no, said it's better minute, if the Cowboys win.
Wait a minute.
Worn your 10-gallon hat, pick the Cowboys, and now listen, giggling.
Y'all ain't gonna make this about. I'm laughing at you.
Well, what do you want?
How do you want him to react?
No, not like that.
Why?
He was
one of our best defensive players is now out. He's week to week.
No, you know what that was the equivalent
of? This thing
of?
Is falling apart.
You know what that was the equivalent of?
We got a game
of?
To win Monday.
I am done. That was the equivalent.
Kaput.
Man, you gotta love it. They
now love what?
Listen. Like I told you, pressure makes diamonds or makes coal. I love it. Hey, man, you really got to get it done Monday night now.
I'm done.
That's what that sounded like.
I am done.
Let me go ahead and put $10 on the Eagle for Monday night.
You're the worst.
Oh, yeah, that makes it more likely they're going to win than their best
play. Man, I am more convinced they're going to win Monday night. Adversity. This is what you need, man. Listen. You live for moments like this.
What other adversary should we have? Should we just take my lot out of the game? Maybe tell Quinion to sit.
Why are you mad at
Leave
me?
Leave Jalen home.
Why are you mad at me? I ain't having surgery. Well,
you are like, this is the most jovial you've been the entire
because
show.
Because I feel like, doesn't this feel like a movie to y'all?
It feels like a nightmare.
We're the good guy, right?
So the movie's coming that? A variety
we're
of different
the
genres.
Too. We're the protagonist, right?
Yes.
The protagonist.
I don't know if we're ready for this analogy.
No, it is. We're the protagonist. We're going to win this one, fellas. I feel good about this. I feel good.
Yeah. But how do you feel better than you did 10 minutes ago?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm saying this adds to the adversity. This is a great storyline.
So Schefter added, this easily could turn out to be a multi-week absence.
Of course it can.
But being placed on injured reserve doesn't seem to be an option now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he had, but this does this sound to you like an arthroscopic surgery?
For both of his shoulders.
That's why to me
this sounds like a while.
That's Like, you don't just come back from multiple shoulder surgeries in a week. That's not a
Do you believe in Vic Fangio? Do you believe in him?
You know, here's what I believe. I believe in Vic, but I also think he's not a magician.
I mean,
he's not there to tie our feet.
Not having Jalen Carter out there, that hurts.
Dude.
But this is where the rubber meets the road, man.
You know, I did wonder, during that Bears game, did you guys notice a lot of Byron Young playing defensive tackle? And I was just like...
Dude, we got dragged by the Bears' run game.
I didn't look at Jalen Carter's snap counts, but I wonder if it was down because he was obviously not feeling right. And then they put... Byron Young was in every time I looked. I'm like, Byron Young? He's like our fourth or fifth
guy.
Dude,
we're cooked.
No, we're not.
And he was cracking up over
here. I don't believe that. I believe in narratives and storylines. And I know that has nothing to do with anything that's actually going on, but I just feel like, no, seriously, because I feel like.
I know this has nothing to do with what's going on, but I believe.
No, because I feel like watching, and this is a culmination of a bunch of different things, so I'm going to need y'all to follow me down this rabbit hole.
I'm trying.
When they made the narrative of the Hard Knocks episode, it was kind of more Cowboys-centric than it was Eagle-centric.
Well, yeah, right? They were the story last week.
They were the story last week because of what they won, right? And I just kind of felt, because it's like they tried to paint them in the positive light, you know, Dak being a leader, all this other stuff. And they've been winning. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But the Eagles are the real story, you know, and I think that these adversities that they've been facing, I think it's going to help galvanize the team.
You know.
And I think they're going to go out there in California. I was about to say San Diego again.
Well, it is in California. I
mean, well, it's California.
The whole thing's California.
Yeah, but it's like they're not in LA.
California's pretty big.
I think they're going to win.
Yeah. But by the way, with all this, just with everything added up this year, there's no way if I'm Howie, I'm paying Jalen Carter this offseason. I know this isn't his fault.
You don't want to get no money.
I'm not mad.
I mean, it's circumstantial.
He has heel issues. He had the shoulder, to double shoulder issues. And how many sacks do you have this year?
He's just trying to hand out money to everybody.
I would think he wouldn't want to do that.
I'll tell you what you can do for us, Hugh.
What's that?
Why don't you shoot old Fletcher Cox a text?
I don't have Fletch's number, but we did talk about going
You have
hunting.
Sources.
I did talk about going hunting with Fletch. Let me see if I can reach out to him on Instagram.
Yeah, use your sources.
It would fit the theme of this season.
Yeah.
What's Injured, that?
Well, and then he retires again.
Someone's hurt, bring back the old Eagle. I mean, this is what we do around here.
But, never mind.
Okay.
I was about to say something, but. Might not be.
Yeah. You know. Okay.
Fletch, 2 years removed from the game?
Yeah, it's probably out. It's probably over, right? Yeah.
Fletch out there racing cars, man.
Yeah, I would think he's probably not coming back. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. You can react with us to all this and the news that just broke that Jalen Carter had a procedure on both shoulders is something. I can't remember something like that, right? Where the player had injuries on both shoulders at the same time in the middle of a season and getting the procedure. So it's a big one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We start with our football team. So, Jack was the lucky recipient of a 3-minute voice recording I made on my walk this morning.
I was trying to have a nice morning catch with Suddy. Yep. We work every morning on Quick Hands.
Yep.
And I was also listening to you rant and rave.
Yeah, so I was thinking about the Eagles situation. I was thinking about Jalen as a quarterback. And I said to myself, I've seen this before. I know where we are with Jalen Hurts. And where we are, and if you would do me the service of just letting me say my truth right now.
All right.
We are in Ben Simmons territory with Jalen Hurts. Now, I want to get off the top. I don't think their mental makeup is the same. Obviously, Jalen has thrived under pressure. Ben Simmons did not thrive under pressure. Those things I agree with. I'm not saying everything is a parallel, but there are a lot of parallels that I see what's happening with Jalen Hurts that I saw with Ben Simmons. First of all, there are very basic things that Jalen can do as a quarterback to help the football team, just like there were very basic things that Ben Simmons could do to help the basketball team. Ben Simmons would not just go to the rim and get fouled, even though we knew he could on pretty much any play. Jalen Hurts will not run the football. Both are simple. Both things can help. Neither guy wanted to do it. Ben Simmons, although not a great three-point shooter, not even a good three-point shooter, refused to do it, refused to shoot corner threes. We see Andre Drummond shooting friggin' corner threes now. Ben Simmons wouldn't do it. They begged him to. Brett Brown begged him to publicly. They couldn't get him to do it, even though it would help the team. Jalen will not or cannot throw the ball over the middle, making the job of the offensive coordinator even harder. With all of these things that happened with Ben Simmons, the coach got blamed. Brett Brown just couldn't get it out of him. Brett Brown just couldn't figure out the right way to use him, right? So they got rid of Brett Brown, and it just got worse with Doc Rivers. And in this case, we have Kevin Petullo and Nick Sirianni getting blamed for the things that Jalen Hurts will not or cannot do. Then we had with Ben the relationship with Joel Embiid. And we knew it was all frosty and kept getting told it's not a big deal. They don't need to be friends. They don't need to be friends. They don't need to be friends. They don't need to be friends, which I can agree with, right? They don't need to be friends, but they need to be able to make it work together on the court. And with Jalen, we have the A.J. Brown thing. I don't care that they're not great friends anymore, but they don't seem to be able to even communicate on the field, right? So we had this whole big problem. And with Ben, every time you pointed out these issues, these very obvious issues that anyone could see, I would just hear three-time All-Star, two-time All-Defense. And with Jalen, every time you point out some of these things that could help the team, you just hear Super Bowl MVP. He was Super Bowl MVP. So now we're here and we're blaming the coaches, and Jalen Hurts is at an inflection point in his career, right? If he could go one of two ways, if he's like Ben, he can either not address these things and not try and not attempt to do everything he can to make this team better. And he can end up like Ben. The world can close in on him at that point because defenses will continue to adjust. His teammates will continue to leak things to the press and it will get ugly. I promise if he keeps going this direction, it'll get ugly. Or Jalen Hurts can do the opposite of what Ben did. And this offseason, address these issues. Because if he doesn't, oh, and one final thing. The other thing I heard with Ben is that they just didn't build the right team around him, right? He's actually a small ball five. If you just surround him with shooters, and with Jalen, I hear the same thing. You just need the exact perfect team around this guy because he has the ball all the time. And I just think we're at this point where it's going to go one way or the other. Now, as I said at the top, I believe in more in Jalen as a person than I believed in Ben. But he's showing a lot of signs, and I saw how this ended in the first place, and I'm getting worried that we're going to end up in the same place.
You good?
I'm good.
You good?
I'm good.
That took a lot for me to let you cook. You burnt up every damn thing, but I let you cook. Hey, you didn't come out with a masterpiece here. I'm just letting you know.
Oh,
that.
It was a masterpiece.
No. That was not a masterpiece, and it all started wrong by comparing him to Ben Simmons. I know Jalen has his flaws.
Yes.
I'm not saying he's perfect.
Yes.
He is no way, shape, or form in the same category as Ben Simmons. First of all, Ben Simmons had a ton of talent.
Yes.
And refused to tap into that talent because he was a mental midget. And I don't mean that in the most derogatory way. I just mean from the standpoint of.
You don't mean that in a derogatory way?
No, I don't.
did you hear that as that came out of your mouth?
I did. That's why I heard it. I said I didn't mean it in a derogatory way.
Do you want
way.
To take back mental midget?
Yeah, I'm okay. just saying. All Here's right. what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
He lacked the mental capacity
mm-hmm.
to perform in moments where it required him to be his best at the highest stage.
I agree.
That is not Jalen.
That I agree. That is a difference.
He had more natural ability than Jalen has.
For sure.
Jalen's a second round pick. Ben Simmons was the number one pick overall.
Yep.
LeBron James, right? Mm-hmm. He's the next LeBron James. Like, Jalen was never being compared to great quarterbacks from that standpoint.
Yes.
Like, he had to earn his
I agree.
His place at the table.
I agree.
Here's the other thing. Now, those are the biggest things. And those can't be overlooked because when you are saddled with being the star or the guy who needs to perform when it's required for you to be at your best on the biggest stage and you refuse to answer the bell, not you shot air balls and you just came up lame or you threw incompletions, you didn't even want to shoot the ball. You didn't even want to be in that moment. You were a detriment to the team.
But don't you see that happen with the guys running over the middle and no. Jalen seeing them and not pulling the trigger?
No, here's why I don't view that as big of an issue. I'm not saying it's not an issue.
Sure.
I'm not saying it's not an issue. But they've already shown, and he's already shown, that you can win without him doing that. Now, had the Sixers gone on and won with Ben Simmons not shooting a three, you can scream to the cows come home about shooting three-pointers. If they win without him shooting a three, he's obviously right that he doesn't need to do that in order for them to ultimately win a title. Jalen has done that. He's done those things. He's been the lowest over-the-middle thrower in NFL for the last 5 years since he's been the starter. That is nothing new. They've had success with it. And as far as the running is a tricky thing. Because when you're younger, you run more. You get a few injuries, you get a little older. Now you want to be selective when you decide to run. And I just think that's where Jalen is at. He's more selective when he's deciding to run. When you're worth the type of money that he is and the brand that he is, he damages his brand if he's on the sideline for 3 or 4 weeks. He can't play. Somebody else is in there performing in his position. So he's going to be smart like he should. When he decides to take off and run, you can't do it recklessly. But the whole Ben Simmons thing, I was out from the time this comparison came up. Because Ben Simmons, I wouldn't want Ben Simmons on my team if he's the last guy I got to pick between him and give me somebody. Give me Reggie Evans. Give me Popeye Jones. Yeah, I don't care. Give me me. Like I'll take me over Ben Simmons.
And you said Jalen did win, which is true. But there it is, Super Bowl MVP.
Got the trophy right there on the mantle.
I'll tell you what. If Ben Simmons has had a Saquon in
Joel,
but Joel couldn't stay healthy.
Well, right? I mean, he was healthy that series.
I know, but what happened was he disappeared. My point is there's probably a scenario in which at Ben Simmons' peak, if the team was absolutely positively right, but the problem is the team's not always going to be absolutely positively right.
Sure.
So.
But the biggest issue in the comparison is the mental makeup.
I agree on the mental
makeup. I don't want to make light of that.
Sure.
But it's the makeup of the athlete in those moments. I don't think Jalen, even though he may not necessarily perform the way you want him to, he doesn't run from the moment. That man stood across the field from Patrick Mahomes twice and outplayed him in the Super Bowl. He didn't blink.
Absolutely.
That's like being across from Brady or being across from Jordan and you still doing your thing and you win and you even outplay that guy. That's what that was with Jalen Hurts. Now, listen, I had 3 days where I was in the fetal position.
Right.
I woke up today.
Yeah.
We're out of that.
Oh, God.
No.
Here we go.
We're out of the fetal position. I'm done licking my wounds. I'm back on the saddle.
Yeah, well, no,
I'm just saying. I'm going to tell you, it's a lot of kicking while we're down going on right now. And I'm not saying it starts with you two, but I'm hearing a lot of it. It started from 10 to 12 is what I'm 10 to 2 is what I'm really hearing a lot of.
There it is.
And I'm sick of hearing it. I'm bad. So that has gotten me out of the fetal position because it seems like there's a lot of joy going on right now.
Not on this show.
And I ain't having that. I'm not having that.
It's time to puke and rally, Ike.
That clickbait midday show. All right, 215-592-9494. So?
Puke and rally.
Which way do you think it's going to go with Jalen? Is it going to go the way of Ben? Does it all end up, explosion? Or does he address the things he needs to address? And do we soldier on? And I'm not just talking about this season. This is a future thing. It's not just, I don't expect him to all of a sudden, become a guy who could pass over the middle next week. All right,
I don't know if it's ever going to happen.
Well, that is my point.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
So, Hard Knocks, the first episode of Hard Knocks midseason NFC East was last night. Mm-hmm. I know what my big takeaway was. What was your biggest takeaway from watching it? If anything.
Well, certainly was not enough Eagles shown in this.
Once again, more anti-Philadelphia bias.
Just saying.
Well, we cannot show the Commanders. Who cares about the Commanders?
Yeah, the quarterback's not even playing. That storyline was wasted.
Oh, great. The quarterback coach is going to Stanford. I don't care. The Giants are at least interesting. The Cowboys are interesting. Yes. The Eagles are interesting. You could drop the Commanders.
Yes. So here's what I'll say, and it pains me.
Yeah.
Because it probably was not a good week for Hard Knocks if you're an Eagles fan.
No. Probably a terrible week. Two losses in one episode.
Real convenient timing by HBO.
Yeah, just saying.
Two losses in that week. Not very good. I'll say it's two things that stood out to me. The Cowboys nonsense may be legit with the magic over them right now. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it certainly seems like it's something happening in the locker room and everything else with those guys.
Yep.
I agree. I felt that through watching it. Secondly, I like the one thing I wanted to know about was that Bears game and what happened with the communication there with Devontae and Jalen. And not so much that I had an inclination of what I thought happened there. It certainly was a mix-up. But what I wanted to know was, what type of communication did you guys have after the play? Did you talk through the play? Did you discuss what he thought, what you thought? And so to see that, I like that.
Here is that. Here is that conversation on the sideline.
What you was thinking?
I thought you, when I pointed like this, that's my fault. I thought you was going to settle down more.
I think that's what we talked about.
It's a play I got to make. Y'all keep doing what y'all doing. Here we go. We'll finish the next one. That's a play I make.
So, fair to note, Devontae walked up to Jalen. I just want to make a note of that. And it was good to see them talk about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Jalen, for what it's worth, the complaint for me, I don't think anybody, has ever been that he doesn't take accountability.
Mm-hmm.
That he is one guy that specifically, I think he does, Saquon does, the offensive linemen do. He says every week, almost to a, we've mentioned, sort of almost Andy Reid-ish, in that he puts everything on himself almost every week in press conferences.
But I wanted to know.
What happened?
Yeah, because here's the thing. The overthrow with AJ in the Denver game, and AJ saying they didn't talk after the play.
Yep.
That's disturbing to me. Like that type of stuff is disturbing to me. And so I wonder, and you brought up Devontae going over to Jalen. I'm good with that because I think Jalen doesn't know, can he enter people's safe space? These guys don't jive with me right now.
Sure.
If I go up to one of them,
am I going to get a weird look?
Yeah, like
look
what's
like
going to happen
idiot.
There? Yeah. Exactly. So it was good to see Devontae came over to find out
I agree.
What he was thinking on that play, and they talked that out. So that was at least, I don't think that's going to cure all, but at least from that standpoint, I'm saying, okay, there's a little bit of communication there as opposed to no one is talking to each other after these plays.
Yeah, I wish they knew what they were going to do, but I agree. I'm glad they had the conversation.
Well, just from those two, it seemed like Devontae was under the impression that we talked about
if we get this, I'm doing this. Yes. Yes, we talked about that already.
And Jalen did say my bad.
And Jalen did what the instinctual thing was, let me get it out quick. You normally would hitch up right there. But y'all clearly had already talked about an improvised move there, and Jalen wasn't on the same page, and that's where Jalen was like, you know what? You're right. Yeah, that's on me.
The first thing you said was my biggest takeaway is, oh, man, it looks like Cowboys are having a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like the celebration on Thanksgiving in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And first of all, in the Eagles game, Dak screaming on the sidelines to everyone, hyping everybody up. And then in the locker room.
When they were down 21-0.
When they're down 21-0.
He was still telling them, hang in there.
Yeah.
This team can't bleep with us. Like, yes. He still was saying that. And they were down 21-0.
And that I've always gotten the sense generally that the locker room is a Dak locker
room. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
But seeing
maybe Trayvon Diggs.
Yes, right, yeah. but the locker room afterwards, after the Thanksgiving game.
Turkey, they came in. How about Jerry
taking a bite of it?
That was different.
That was a moment.
Even the coach looked like he was having a good time.
He's smiling.
He's a little
lovable idiot.
Yeah.
Brian Schottenheimer. Did you
feel the same way watching it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Now, listen, the Eagles better be careful here because the Eagles control their own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Cowboys can win out and still need a little help.
Yep.
But they believe now.
Yes.
And
you can tell.
Yeah, they're riding a little wave, and they're like, listen, if we just get in, nobody wants to play us.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles, if you continue to falter the way that you are, yeah, they're on your heels. They're there. Like that's real.
And
that's real.
It was a tie. We were laughing at it at the time. They put 40 up on Green Bay.
Yeah.
The Cowboys.
Well, that offense is
legit.
I mean, yeah, that offense is legit. They number two, they may be number one now.
Yeah.
And scoring. Yeah.
Watching it, that was my big. And also, to the opposite side, it just looks like Nick looks exhausted. I mean, we look at Schottenheimer. Schottenheimer looks laid back.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they painted it that way. They can construct it any way they want.
But I saw it too. Yeah. And then, like, Nick is a little tired. Yeah.
Tight and tired is the way.
Yeah, you know, I would agree.
You know, and for a team that doesn't pay attention to the outside noise, the first thing we hear is Nick and BG talking about
the
sky falling.
We don't have the BG thing? Oh,
yeah.
Man.
When the sky's falling?
Yeah.
And he's like, don't pay attention to it. Don't pay attention to it. Ignore it. I don't know. It was, and also the other thing, my other big takeaway was this is an hour long show. The reason I've never watched Hard Knocks before, I think, you know, looking back on it, I probably watched a little bit of the Jets one because it was in New York at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I don't watch Hard Knocks is because I genuinely don't care about like the other teams. You know, I'll listen about them and I'll read about them for the show. But for like in my normal life, in program director life, I don't care.
I agree.
So I'm watching it last night and I'm like, well, I only care about the Eagles. And there's only like 9 minutes of Eagles in the show.
It's been 5 minutes with the Giants with Jackson Dart and Ty Johnson trying to figure out where Long Island was. The Atlantic Ocean was.
Yeah.
My producer brain was like, get off it. We get it. They don't know where the freaking ocean is. It reminded me of Jared Goff talking about where's the sunrise.
That's exactly what I thought about. Yeah.
Oh, is that another?
It was first, with the Rams, he did the whole.
He doesn't know where
the
sun rises
sets and where it rises. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack.
Yeah, hold on. Let me try. Oh, no, let Fritz go.
Yeah.
Rises in the east, sets in the west.
There you go.
So, one more thing.
From here, I don't.
Yeah. My question is, which way is east and which way is west?
From right here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, how am I supposed to know that?
It's easy. God.
Why?
What do you mean, why? You should know where east, west, north, south is at all times.
Why?
What do you mean, why? It's easy. Come on. Wait, how about this? Can I help you with it?
Just don't point up for north.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I'll help you with it. Which way is New Jersey?
East.
Okay, but from here?
Where you are.
Point to where New Jersey.
Why are you pointing over there?
Yeah, it's this way. Okay.
I'm thinking you get out there.
Okay, so the sun rises over here because this is east. So which way is west if this way is east?
If it's that way.
Oh, there you go. And here's how you can figure it out. You see 76 is out there.
Yeah.
That way goes the King of Prussia.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
Yeah.
That's west.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So which way is north?
Hold on.
that way.
North that way.
Yeah, there you close go. Enough.
North that way.
There you go.
You know, my mom was like, you really sound dumb on the radio, you know? She was like, I don't know why you like being the butt of everyone's jokes. She said, I thought you I raised you better than this. And I was like, I told one story about the funeral procession. And
then she found out about it.
Well, I was just like, you know, why do you like to sound so dumb? I'm like, that's, you know.
You're embarrassing the family.
Well, yeah. Whatever. I said, Mom, we're just making radio.
Yeah. You're gainfully employed. You have a family. Man. Who cares how dumb you are?
That's
well,
awesome.
I just like, how are you supposed
to? Well, Mom cares.
I know. Well, yeah. Because I'm like a.
She has friends. Yeah, they know you're on. I mean, you're a big deal, man. So
A-list in Westchester.
You're on the radio.
I know. And it feels like every time I do something dumb, she views it as an indictment of her parents. Yeah.
Well, here's what I'll do with you for North
Poor
South.
Jill. I wonder how Jill feels.
Well, Jill, yesterday, she wanted me to point out that she was telling me to stay close to the cars in front, and I wasn't
of course
listening.
She was.
Yeah.
She wanted to make sure she wasn't complicit to what
she
you
does
were
not
doing.
Want to be.
Yes.
Everyone's trying to separate themselves from the Titanic.
She's going to change her last name back to her maiden name.
Yeah, the maiden name. Yeah.
Here's it. I tried to teach my wife this once. She rolled her eyes at me for north, south, east, west, Jack. Just think about where the river is. The river is east. Where Jersey is. Just always point to Jersey. If you can find Jersey.
That's true.
Yeah, but I'm not like hiking. Who cares? I mean, I don't even go with east, south, east. Who cares? Whatever.
Well, what if your the GPS doesn't work and somebody's like, hey, go west on this street?
Yeah, I mean, are you kidding me? I'm screwed. If the GPS doesn't work, I'm driving in a circle. I mean, what are you kidding me? No one's getting anywhere if the GPS is good. You guys grew up in a map era.
I might be with him on this one. Without the GPS, I'm screwed. I'm not driving in a circle, though.
So, Ike, I'm actually, instead of offering you my opinion first, I'm going to set this up and I'm going to ask you what you think.
Ah, well, isn't that nice of you?
Well, it's been a lot of me this week, and I quite frankly have had enough of me this week. So,
you and everyone else.
Yeah, well, I can tell. So, after the loss against the Cowboys, I remember sitting at Chickies and Pete's and I just said, this team is cooked. Mm-hmm. And then after the loss to the Chicago Bears, I sat at Chickies and Pete's and I'm like, this team is cooked. Mm-hmm. And here we are with a Monday night game against the Chargers, a game they have to have, really. The offense has looked terrible most of the year. The defense on Friday looked worse than they had all year. Mm-hmm. Jalen Carter is out for a few weeks, it seems, with the two shoulder thing. So I ask you, like, are they just cooked, or do you think they have one run left in them? Because I think that's the biggest question.
Yeah.
Are they cooked?
No, listen, and quite frankly, I'm the right person to come to for
I know.
This because
I know
they aren't cooked yet. They are not cooked yet. I'm still holding out hope. I'm not going to tell you. I don't have a we're going to the Super Bowl guarantee feeling in me. I just don't feel like they – I don't feel like the book has been closed on this season yet. And they still have plenty of opportunity to turn this thing around. So let me see if I can bring this to 2018.
Okay.
2018.
Yes.
Struggling season.
Oh, yeah, we're 5-8, right?
Yes, yep. I can't remember what the record was. But struggling season, and it certainly didn't appear. It didn't even look like we were going to make the playoffs.
Right.
That's
when they sat Carson.
Yeah, after losing to Dallas. Yep. After we lost to Dallas, Carson sits. Nick comes in. The magic is rekindled. I'm not saying we're going to do that when replacing a quarterback or anything. What I am saying is that this is still a championship team with DNA championship, right? They're not that far removed from hoisting that trophy. There are a lot of players that are still on this roster that knows what that feels like. And I just feel like they need to get out of their own way, get a little bit of positive reinforcement, meaning see some success out there on the field. And then at some point, it's going to click to them that, oh, this is why we're doing this. This is why this is our main objective, is to go out there and to defend our championship. That's one part of it. Here's the second part of it. As good as the Rams have looked, I think they're the best team. They've earned that. They played the most consistently. The other teams in the rest of the conference doesn't put a fear. It doesn't strike fear in me.
Sure. Yep.
So it's not that the Eagles can flip a switch and just win. But if they can get a little momentum going, it's not like they need a miracle to beat these teams. We've seen them beat some of the best teams, Detroit, Green Bay, in consecutive weeks without playing their best football.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can at least get it going, if they get to the playoffs, it's a whole new season. And I think some strange way, that's sort of what they're waiting on.
They're waiting to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, when that postseason.
That's a dangerous game.
It is. Okay. It is. And it's almost like you're taking it for granted.
Yes.
That's what I believe they've done to this point. But over this next month, it's going to hit, hopefully it hits this weekend going into Monday, that we have an actual title to defend. Let's go defend our title. There has to be some pride still left in there in being a champion. I think that's going to set in and kick in at some point, and we'll see. I still believe to this point, Rams-Eagles NFC Championship game. Just a matter of whether it's in L.A. or it's here.
215-592-9494.
Either way, it's going to be an Eagles home game, so it really doesn't matter.
Yes, even in L.A. Yes. And nicer weather, actually.
Yes.
215-592-9494. Are the 2025 Eagles cooked, or do they have one run left in them? So as you're saying that, I think I've figured out how this season's going to go and the team that I am likening them to. Mm. You talked about the 2018 Eagles. You talked about last year's Eagles. They actually a little bit remind me of the 2024 Phillies. And what happened with the 2024 Phillies is in the middle of the year, they had built up this. Now, they played better at the beginning of the year than this Eagles team did. But they had built up this lead that for the rest of the season, even though they played middling baseball for the rest of the year, we just kept pointing at the record, even though we knew.
Best team in baseball.
Yeah, best team in baseball. even and but not, no other team's really that good. In the, you know, were the Mets going to beat us, all that sort of stuff. And we did it until the end of the year. And they didn't collapse completely, that Phillies team. They played below 500 baseball for, you know, 3 months or whatever. But they just kept going back and forth. And they never really gave us a chance to believe. And then we all went into that series against the Mets, and they thought they could turn it on. They thought they could flip the switch. We hoped they could flip the switch. But deep in our gut, we knew it just wasn't there. So I guess what I sort of feel with this Phillies, this Eagles team is I don't think they're good. I don't think it's 23. You know, at the end of the day, I don't think they're going to crumble. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think they have it. And I understand. I agree with you. I don't think anyone in the NFC, even including the Rams, who are a very good football team, nobody's scary. Mm-hmm. Right? There's no team that we couldn't beat, especially at home. But also, there's no team that we couldn't lose to. is sort of the same. So that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling some 2024 Phillies vibes with this Eagles.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.